good morning. What a wonderful time of praise and worship that was. You know, the Bible says, whoever offers praise glorifies me. So if you've offered praise this morning from your heart, your mouth, you've glorified God already. Well done, church. Thank you, Jesus. Well, today is a good day, and I believe today has the potential to be a great day. When I was praying earlier this week, I saw something which I have found out is called a railroad shift. Does anybody know what a railroad shift is? It was actually a left turnout railroad shift, I discovered. And we've got an image of it on the screen for you this morning. Basically, it's the point where a train diverts onto a different track, moves away from one destination towards another. And I believe what the Lord is saying is that today can be a railroad shift day for us, moving away from one negative destination towards a very different positive destination, basically away from the enemy's destination for us, into the plan of God, on track towards the plan of God. And I've been praying two scriptures for all of us this week, and we've got them on the screen. It's Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. And it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord." And it goes on to talk about pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. But I think it's very interesting that walking worthy of the Lord is dependent on having knowledge, spiritual knowledge and spiritual understanding. And so my prayer has been, Lord, fill us. Fill me, fill us with spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. Isn't that a great prayer to pray? Aren't they great scriptures to pray over your own life and your family's life and the church's life? And we need to be aware that there are two types of wisdom in this world. Two types. Natural wisdom and spiritual wisdom. And all of us as believers can operate in both at any given point in time. In any one day, we can switch between the two. You might start off great in the morning, spiritually minded, but come 12 o'clock, you've had a series of issues, you're starting to divert back onto the wrong track into natural wisdom, natural understanding. And we've all been brought up with the world's fleshly ways of thinking, haven't we? Look after number one. See what you can get away with. It's only a little white lie. You know, these natural worldly ways of thinking that are actually in opposition to God's way of thinking. I'd like you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 to 8. And you may be sitting there thinking, oh, here we go again. This is a message on how I need to read the word. Well, yes, it is. And I make no apology for that, because it is the message in my life that has transformed me the most. Filling my mind with the truth has changed my life. And more than anything, I want that for you. I know, to an extent, we all know this, but how much do we do it? This is the issue. Okay, so Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at it together, verses 5 and 6. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Naturally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Love that scripture, don't you? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. How much do we need that? A lot. Okay, so there's two ways of thinking, or two train tracks, if you like. Natural thoughts and spiritual thoughts. What's right in our eyes and what's right in His eyes. And I want to bring an example from my own personal history. I was trying to work it out. It's about over 20 years ago when I was in Bible college. A spiritual man, a kind of normally spiritual man, somebody I respected and looked up to in the Bible college, he was chatting to me one day, and he just said to me, I think you need to go to university. You've got a brain, you've got some qualifications, go and get, you know, take the next step sort of thing, go to university. And I have to be honest, it put me in a flat spin, because in my heart, I didn't think it was right, but in my head, I was like, oh, well, you know, it makes sense. You know, it's a wise thing to do. And I was confused, and I had quite an anxious couple of weeks, and I was praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what are you saying? Okay, he's saying this. I don't know. What are you saying? And that needs to be our position at every point, doesn't it? Lord, I think this. They think that. Somebody else is saying this. What are you saying? Yeah. Praise God. When I was praying one day, we were actually away on a ministry trip in Wales, and I had a vision of myself climbing a mountain and then a backpack being put on me, like a really heavy, one of those, you know, go off around the world for a year, heavy, massive backpack being put on me. And I knew that represented going to university for me. It was full of heavy things that would weigh me down and set me back, and actually things that I wouldn't need on this journey up the mountain. That point was a railroad shift for me. It diverted me off the natural wisdom track into spiritual wisdom, really into God's thoughts. Changed my destination. And so this railroad shift comes when we hear the Lord, but not just when we hear the Lord, when we act on what we hear. And of course, the Lord isn't anti-university. He was just anti-university for me. And I praise God that his voice broke into my natural thoughts, really. It brought such relief, you know, and such a confidence to make the decision. Right, I know God's saying this, so I can do this in faith. He knows which way I'm meant to be going. He knows what's right for me, and so I can step out in faith on this. And I think all of us, if we went around this room, many of us in this room would have stories of our own railroad shift points where God's voice breaks in. You're going one way, and it's like, okay, Lord, you're saying this. I need to divert and get onto that track. And when you do that, you know, when you look back, doesn't it bring such a huge sense of joy and relief that you did actually listen, you know, and get on the right track? But these kind of railroad shift points, they're not meant to be reserved just for the big decisions in life. This is actually a way we're meant to live our lives daily. Okay, turn with me to Proverbs 3. You can probably guess where I'm going. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. We want his thoughts leading us, don't we? Okay. So, says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The NIV, I believe, says he shall make your paths straight, doesn't it? If every born-again believer on earth at this point in time did these two verses, we would be the most blessed people on earth. I know we are spiritually, but we have a mix of circumstances happening in our lives all the time, don't we? And very often the negative ones are just consequences of our not listening and not acknowledging him, not trusting him. Because a lot of Christians actually do the opposite of this. They don't trust the Lord. They don't pray and see what the Lord's saying. They actually lean on their own understanding. They don't acknowledge him in anything. So what happens? Make it up as you go along. I'll just do what I think's best then in this scenario. And the result is, I believe, that we go around in sort of a downward spiraling circle. The other picture I had when I was praying this week was of a downward spiraling circle and a straight road. And all the way through Scripture, the Lord's way is referred to as a straight way. He makes the crooked places straight. He tells us to make straight paths for our feet. NIV version of this, Proverbs 3. You know, if you do all those things, he will make your paths straight. Okay? And I believe what the Lord is saying, that there are some of us here today, probably many of us, in some area, we're doing this. You might be kind of on a straight road in some area, but in another area you're doing this. And you might not even know it. Personally, I've discovered in my own life that natural thinking gets me doing this on a downward spiraling circle. Because I think we often repeat the same mistakes. When you're kind of in a natural train of thought, we often, the very thing you probably vowed never to repeat, you end up repeating. You know, whether it be a different set of circumstances and involving different people, whether it's selfishness or pride or unbelief, going round in your thoughts, it often causes us to make the same wrong choices, doesn't it? Lying, even if it's a little white lie, wrong priorities, wrong choices. You know, working when we should be resting, resting when we should be in church, spending when we should be saving, saving when we should be giving, wrong priorities, wrong choices. The natural mind ignores God. Just be aware of that yourself. Your own natural mind kind of squeezes God out of the equation. It's just filled with natural thoughts that ignore God. And it denies that he knows what's best. It denies that he will bless obedience. Kind of just turns a blind eye and a deaf ear to the word. And we can be tempted to get our minds so fixed on this natural world that we forget the reality of the spirit realm, which is as real, more real than we are. God's an invisible God, but he is as real as we are. Turn back, I meant to say to keep your finger in Romans 8. Turn back to Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. I'm convinced that really this is the word of the Lord for us today. This word, I've kind of been working on it off, on and off for about 2 weeks. I was meant to bring this word 2 weeks ago, and I ended up in A&E. And I'll tell you a bit more about that in a minute. But, I really believe the Lord wants us to hear this word and not just hear it, but respond to it this morning. So I plead with you, please listen and please take on board that this is the word of the Lord for you personally. Okay, so natural thinking costs us something. And if you look at Romans 8 again, we're just going to look at those two verses, 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Our natural thinking, natural living, costs us. What does it cost you? Don't think there won't be a cost. There is always a cost. The cost is right there in verse 6. It will cost you the life and peace of God. If we are led by our natural minds, which if we're honest, we all are at certain points, that journey is fraught with anxiety and strife. Come on. Isn't it? I am so fed up of this downward spiral and this kind of what if. You know, I'm just determined in my own life to live like mind led by the Spirit. Not to forfeit the life and peace because I know how much I need it. When we are led by a natural mind, we take responsibility for everything. And your natural mind will tell you that that is a good thing to do. You should be a responsible person. Well, yes, of course, we should be responsible, be in the right place at the right time, do what we should be doing. However, we have to keep putting every burden over onto the Lord, saying, Lord, you're my shepherd and you're my ability. You show me the way to go and you give me the ability to do it. Because if we don't depend on God, we will depend on ourselves, won't we? I think I've got a slide for that. If we don't depend on God, we have to depend on ourselves. And of course, that downward spiraling circle is the route that we will take. It's not the life Jesus wants for us, is it? It's not a blessed life. There's no life and peace in that. And most of us, I know this. But how come then some days the natural mind still wins. How come? Well, the answer's really simple. I'll tell you how. It's because we hear and know a lot. In this church, we hear and we know a lot. The problem is we don't act on what we know. We don't do it. You know, all of us know to cast our cares on the Lord, but do we do it? All of us know to forgive and bless our enemies, but do we do it? Some days yes, some days maybe not. James chapter 1 verses 21 and 22. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, that's natural thinking, and receive with meekness or humility the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Look at what happens. Because we know a lot, somehow we deceive ourselves into thinking we're doing it when we're not. Deceiving yourselves. We can all receive the word with meekness and humility on a Sunday morning, but unless we put it into practice on a Monday morning, we deceive ourselves. And our souls end up in all kinds of trouble. We end up anxious and offended and back on that negative spiral, don't we? Okay, now I want us to stick with this kind of concept that negative thinking brings a downward spiral. So a spiral of doubt and unbelief, a spiral of sin and compromise, a spiral of worry and stress. And we wonder to ourselves, why is all this happening to me? Why can't I shake this negativity? Why don't things ever change? Who knows the definition of insanity? You've heard it, haven't you? But isn't it good to remind ourselves? The definition of insanity is to keep on doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Now, when you stop and think about that, it makes sense, isn't it? If you keep on doing one thing that's producing negative stuff in your life, isn't it madness to keep on doing that one thing, expecting things to change? Now, I'm going to use the example of diet because it's easy and obvious and really clear, but if you have takeaways every night, the result will be you will be fat and unhealthy. Let me just say it as it is. And wouldn't it be ridiculous to think you can keep on having those takeaways? Look, I'm not against takeaways, but takeaways every night, you know? Things aren't going to change. Things don't change unless we introduce a change. Isn't that right? Okay. Now, some things are not as obvious as a bad diet, are they? Some things are kind of hidden. And so we need the word of God to break in. Be that lamp to our feet, show us where we are, and light to our path, show us where to go. Jesus is our rescuer. That is my testimony. I'm sure it's your testimony. He has saved my soul I don't know how many times when I've actually listened and done what he said. And the thing is, he really does want to help us in the detail of life, diet and exercise, raising kids, finances, relational issues, work issues. He wants to bring his wisdom and faith to know what to do. He tells us what to do and then gives us the ability to do it. We have a helper, praise God, to actually turn things around, to move in his direction, really back onto that track of blessing where there is life and peace. So when we hear and do the word, there you go, you see? That's it, that's you. When you start to hear and do, you're starting to move in a different direction. James chapter 1 verse 25 says this: but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not just look at it and say, oh yes, that's a good word, off you go, carrying on doing the same thing, and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, let's all say doer, doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Just say to the person next to you, if you want to see God's blessing in your life, don't just listen. Do it. We need to hear and do. Hear and do. Hear and do. Get into the habit. Whenever you read a scripture in the Bible that's a directive scripture, get into the habit. I need to apply this at the earliest opportunity. Because what I find in my own life, if I don't apply it quick, I forget it. If you don't apply the word quick, you forget it. You get into a natural way of thinking very quickly. We're going to just look at a psalm as an example of something that we can hear and respond to very quickly. Psalm 34, if you just turn in your Bibles with me. Psalm 34 and verses 12 to 14. Who is the man or woman who desires to see life and loves many days that they may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Okay, so if we could just kind of put that in bullet point form. Speak good, do good, seek peace and pursue it. Speak good, do good, seek peace and pursue it. If we want to see a long and blessed life, we need to do this. Speak good, do good, seek peace and pursue it. Just say that. Take it in turns. Say it to the person next to you. Speak good, do good, seek peace and pursue it. At home, at work, wherever you are, whoever you're with, speak good, do good, seek peace and pursue it. Get a reputation for being a positive speaker. Probably there's many people have already. But if you haven't, if you've got a reputation for the opposite, you can change it. Get a reputation for being a positive speaker. Get a reputation for doing good. If somebody calls me a do-gooder, I'm not offended by that. I'm praise God. I'm getting something right. Get a reputation for being a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called sons of God. One of the trademarks of a believer, actually, is to be a peacemaker. Troublemakers seek bad. Troublemakers do bad. And troublemakers seek out trouble. They actually enjoy creating issues. Yes. Turbulence is kind of in them and around them. And they go around on this negative spiral themselves and suck other people into it if they're not careful. And Corinthians actually warns us, doesn't it? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And our good habits as believers can be corrupted if we're hanging around with troublemakers. It's kind of a warning in Scripture there. It's not to say that if you get an opportunity that you don't witness to them, kind of befriend them with a little bit of distance, but don't make them your BFF. Who knows what a BFF is? Your best friend forever. They're not meant to be in your close circle. They can be in an outer circle, but not like that. Otherwise, they take you down with them. Bit of internet slang there for you. I don't know much, but that's one of the ones I do know. If you are aware some negative cycles has crept in, today is the day for a railroad shift. Come on, it's possible. A railroad shift. You know, if you're aware, let's be honest, that you kind of got into this rut of speaking negatively to your children, to your partner, if somehow, you know, it can almost creep in without you realizing. Negative attitude towards your boss, agreeing with other people, just this kind of negative murmuring and complaining thing going on. Today's a day for a railroad shift. Off of one track, onto another. Away from the negative destination, towards another. If we could see the end from the beginning, like the Lord, we would probably do things differently. Wouldn't we? You know, myself too, if I could see some of the negative destinations potentially I could be on track heading towards at the moment, I think, hang on a minute, I don't want to end up there. I need to railroad shift off of this track. And the only way is doing it God's way, isn't it? Okay, doing things differently, making changes. And that's the grace of God. Number one, that we can change, but number two, that he warns us in advance. He doesn't wait for us. He doesn't want us to get to the negative destination. He wants to warn us in advance so that we can make the changes. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 19, and it's all about the commandments of the Lord. And verse 11 of Psalm 19 says, "By them, the commandments of the Lord, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there's great reward." Now, I love rewards. I'm sure you love rewards too. They're very motivational. You know, the reward of a day off, the reward of a holiday. There are rewards to doing God's will. Life and peace being one of them. Two of them. I love the fact that they're not all reserved for heaven. You know, we can experience them in the here and now. There's rewards for good behavior. There's also consequences for bad behavior. You reap what you sow, the Bible says. That's a law that runs through everything, this whole world. Whatever it is, whether it be finances, the earth, the soil, we'll reap what you sow into it. People, relationships, we reap what we sow. But God is love, and he actually wants to sow us from the negative stuff that we could potentially reap. And the whole Bible actually records the history of God's people doing the wrong thing, getting on the wrong track, and him warning them and warning them and warning them through the prophets that he sent, and them ignoring him and ignoring him and ignoring him, and ending up in an absolute pit of trouble, crying out to God to save them. We need to recognize their mistake of ignoring God and not make that same mistake ourselves. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. This needs to become your life plan. The way you live your days. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, I have to emphasize, this is not automatic. I do not automatically do this. I have to train myself. I am still having to train myself because I don't always get it right. I have to choose to pray and then trust him. Trusting the Lord is a choice because your emotions can still be raging and the circumstances can still be shocking. Trusting the Lord is a choice. Leaning not on your own understanding is a choice. We kind of got a hinge point where we can choose. Do I trust what I think or do I trust what God's saying? And then trusting that he will work, then you kind of just relax then. When you do the first part, you can just relax like, okay, Lord, now I believe you're going to straighten out that spiraling thing. You know, life can just be so turbulent, can't it? It can just really be stormy at times. And it's like, Lord, I'm handing it over. Saturday morning, I had 5 things that I was anxious about and I kind of didn't even know it. Do you know, I don't know how this can be as human beings, but we can kind of almost be anxious and get ourselves in a tailspin and not even realize it. Until you kind of stop and think, actually, I'm starting to feel quite anxious. And I sat in our lounge and literally I said out loud, I pray out loud and I recommend it because it helps me keep focused. If I pray silently within myself, my mind drifts. So I pray out loud, and I prayed out loud. I made myself laugh. I just said, Lord, I'm just so anxious, and so I'm going to pray because I'm getting a headache. Just said it as it is, and then carried on. I said, and I'm anxious about this. And as I started, I thought, yeah, I really am. And I'm anxious about this, and I'm anxious about that, and I'm anxious about this. I felt even better just to say it out loud. I'm anxious about these things. And I need you to, I don't even know what I want you to do. I just need help. I need you to just intervene and help. I don't even know the solution. Help. They said, I'm sending an SOS here to you. And that was it. That was my prayer. And I breathe. Honestly, I felt better. The headache, within about 10 or 15 minutes, little delay, but within about 10 or 15 minutes, it left. I didn't need to take painkillers. I thought, I could have gone through the whole day and have a pounding head at the end of it and be like this cord up spirit. Why don't I do this more often? I mean, I do it, but it's amazing how we can go on being a little bit anxious and a little bit more anxious before dealing with it in a spiritual way. Throw that in there to help you. I'm sure there's nobody else here goes through days like that. But anyway, we need to train ourselves to actively do this. Yeah. Not just know it. Not just have it embroidered on a pillow somewhere. You know, a magnet on your fridge. Not going to do you any good until you actually apply it, is it? Consider him. Think about the Lord in your day. Consider him. Don't try and figure it all out on your own. Let me say this. This is a revelation. you need to think about what you're thinking about. Or in other words, pay attention to what's in your head. Because what is in your head will give you a good day or a bad day. Your head will either be full of God's thoughts, life and peace, life and peace, life and peace, headache free, calm, or natural thoughts, worldly thoughts, that ignore God, take all the responsibility on yourself, and approach life with a furrowed brow and a kind of, you know, head down, let's just battle through. It's not the way, is it? It's not God's way for us. So what are you thinking about? What is in your head? What is in your head right now? I'm hoping it's what I'm saying, but, you know, that's a choice because you've got to keep yourself focused. What is in your head? All our behavior is a product of our thoughts. I know it's obvious when you say it, but think about that. This week, consequences at the end of the week. It's all a product of what you've been meditating on and chewing over. We act according to the way we think. If you think natural, you will act natural and you will get a natural result. You'll get the world's result. And that's not good because the world's in a mess. Because the devil is the ruler of this world. And there's a law that operates in this world, and it's called a law of sin and death. We don't want to go there. The Holy Spirit, as believers, has actually set us free from the law of sin and death, but we can put ourselves back under that law if we're not careful, okay? So we need to think spiritual, act spiritual, and get spiritual, supernatural results. Healing, victory, life, and peace. So, beloved. Today is the day, that's a Pastor Colin phrase, isn't it? It's nice. Little flock. Today is the day to make a decision to break some negative cycles. Railroad shift out into freedom and joy, life and peace. We need his thoughts. Let me put it to you. I'm going to finish by saying it like this. God is smarter than you are. He is wiser than you are. He is wiser than I am. But we shouldn't assume we know his thoughts. That's another big problem, trap of the enemy that we can all fall into, particularly as more mature believers. We assume we know the will of God without asking, without praying and committing things to him. We need to pray, not assume. We don't need to lean on our own understanding. We need to acknowledge him in all our ways because we need his thoughts. This book is full of his thoughts. It's full of God's thoughts on you and your life and your family and your finances and your relationships and your health and your purpose on this planet. They don't need to stay in the book. Really. Lord, help me get this. Help us all get this. Help that move out of there into here and here. Head and heart, head and heart. No hope of getting it in your heart. Sorry, lost the microphone there. No hope of getting it in your heart unless it's in your head. You got to read the word to start to change what you want and what you, you know, you're kind of leaning towards. My testimony, just briefly, so 2 weeks ago in... I was just in shocking pain, and we still don't really know what it was. We suspect it might be something ovarian, but I'm not having any of that. But anyway, I ended up in A&E in the early hours of the morning, and it was awful. You know, you go to A&E when you are in desperate trouble, you know, real pain, don't you? And I kind of stuck it out for 4 days in agony. And it got to the point where David just said, look, let's just go to A&E. So I was like, I'm not protesting. Let's go. And we got there, and it wasn't busy, but somehow we still ended up waiting quite a long time to see a doctor. And bless David, he fell asleep. I don't blame him. We were there a long time. It was the early hours of the morning. But I'm lying there on this bed, looking at a clock, literally every You know the red hand, the second hand that goes round quick? Even that hand seemed slow. I'm like looking at it. Every minute felt slow. And I was kind of getting myself panicky because I was meditating on fear thoughts. I could feel my heart starting to, you know, get a bit panicky. And then this thought came to me, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It just brought peace. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God, you're with me. Here I am, I'm in a fix, but you're with me. I will fear no evil. I kind of calmed down, my body relaxed, the pain subsided, and I just knew from that point, whatever happens, it'll be all right. I don't know what will happen, but I know it'll be all right because you are with me. That's it. I got enough of the word in for the Holy Spirit to remind me of that promise. And so we need our heads converting. I mean, we really, really do. Unless we want to constantly live on this spiraling, you know, ever decreasing circle, we need our heads converting. And the only way we do it is to do what we already know to do. Sow the word. Sow the word. This shouldn't be our duty. This is our lifeline, church. This is your lifeline. Hold your Bible if you've got one. You should have one. Right there in your own hands is your own salvation. I saw a video not that long ago of some Chinese believers receiving the first Bible. Honestly, it was so moving. They'd probably had years without their own Bible, and they were given a Bible for the first time, and they were just crying tears of joy, just literally falling to their knees that somebody had put a Bible in their hands. And here we are, we've probably got two or three translations at home. Please, we shouldn't take for granted the Word of God, should we? We need his thoughts. If our own thoughts are raging, your own thoughts tend to have self at the center. You know, just to a top tip to flag them. They tend to have self at the center, self-righteous, self-dependent. That's when you start to feel a lot of responsibility. Self-pity, self. Or we can tell ourselves God's thoughts. He's a shield to all who trust in him. His grace is sufficient for me. I can do this because Jesus is in me. Mine led by the Spirit is life and peace. I would like you to give the person next to you an elbow, just a nudge, and say to them, you need a spiritual head. If you want to change from having a stress head, you need a spiritual head. Make friends with the Word of God. Take this like medicine daily. You can change. Praise God. Tell them you can change. Now, I'm going to finish with this. Joyce Meyer, I love her. I'm sure there are many of you here who do as well. Her ministry promotes something called the 30-30 Challenge. And what that is, people sign up and they commit to reading the Word for 30 minutes for 30 days. 30-30 Challenge. 30 minutes for 30 days. And I think that is a brilliant challenge that we could all really benefit from. And some of you might be thinking, well, I already do that. I do 45-30. No, I do an hour 30. Brilliant. Great. But for those of you who are thinking, 30 minutes a day, okay, you start somewhere. Because remember, the definition of insanity is to keep on doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So maybe you do a 15-30. 15 minutes a day for 30 days. Just start somewhere and prove to yourself, this changes me for the better. Really, it has such a positive effect in my life. What a doofus. Why have I not done this all of my Christian life? Well, do you know what? Today's a day for change. Today's a day for a railroad shift, isn't it? You know, it's the day to do things differently. And look, we've all heard these messages many times before, and you could be sitting here thinking, 30-30, what a brilliant idea. Yes, I must do that. go out through those double doors, poof, gone. What was that message about? Oh, I can't remember. Let's have a cup of tea. Come on. Like, let's really pay attention and be intentional about this and plan some Jesus time in daily. Thus says the Lord, Amen.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.